for the 42nd year in a row, football is the most popular sport in the United States. That's according to a new poll from Gallup. While the sport has lost some popularity since 2008, it's still the favorite, the number one sport, as reported by 37% of Americans, followed by basketball at 11%, baseball at 9%. This even though professional football has come under fire for domestic violence accusations against players, links to degenerative brain disease and head injuries, and political protests among its players. So why is football on the eve of the Super Bowl still the big game for Americans? Jason Wilde covers the Packers for ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to do it, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, we see these national trends. I mean, all sports viewership seems to be down, including football, but football still the big game in town. You've covered the Packers for years. Have you seen their popularity wax or wane over time?
No, you know, I really haven't. It's amazing how when they have a down season, like they did this year with Aaron Rodgers breaking his right collarbone and missing 10 games, the interest, I don't think, changes. I think the frustration level certainly changes. But, you know, maybe fans aren't quite as invested, but they still care very, very deeply about the Packers and are still spending a lot of their discretionary income on whether it's jerseys or tickets to games, a lot of times in the secondary market where they're really expensive, or even road trips to away games. I mean, one of the things that in the two-plus decades of covering this team that I've always been amazed by is just how well Packers fans travel, even to places that might not seem like fun vacation spots. They are always out in full force, and you know that that means they're spending a significant amount of money to travel there and buy the tickets and everything else.
Is there something about football that makes it a better sport, or at least a more appealing sport to Americans than, you know, all the competition that's out there?
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered that too, because I think it's pretty clear that even though we call baseball America's pastime, that the NFL really is America's game. And I think that's why there's so much attention on the uncertainty that is facing the game today. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, the viewership has gone down. Now, is that related to just how people younger than me consume television and they don't watch games, you know, the traditional same way that I have for my whole life when I turn the television on and I watch the game that way? Is that part of it? It certainly hasn't deterred the networks from bidding high for the rights to television to televise the NFL. I mean, the Fox Sports deal is over $3 billion to do the Thursday night package that they just signed. So there's obviously not significant concern among the TV networks about lost viewership. In terms of what it might be about the game itself, I don't know, because the concern that I would have if I was the NFL, and I think they do have it, is about the dangers of concussions and CTE and how that has changed maybe how the most popular sport in America is viewed. I know, as I look back on my career, I tell this story all the time, but I was covering a game early in my career, I think it was in 96, when Don Beebe was a wide receiver for the Packers, and he was knocked out in the first half with a concussion. Brett Favre remembers him snoring on the field after being knocked out. And he came back in the second half and caught the game-winning touchdown. And none of us in the media, fans, the team, none of us blinked an eye. None of us said, should a guy who was snoring on the field in the first half be on the field in the second half? And I look back and I think about my younger self and think, God, are you an idiot? How did you not think in these terms back then? But I was certainly not alone, and I know that they've for their own self-preservation, paid a lot more attention to concussions in the last decade or so. But they've got a lot of work to do if they're going to continue to protect their sports popularity.
Yeah, some hits not that long ago would have been ESPN highlights, you know, the big hits of the week. And then looking at the couple hits that Davante Adams of the Packers took this year. I mean, nowadays watching it, I don't know if I would have reacted this way 10 years ago. I mean, I feel sick to my stomach sometimes seeing that. I still watch the NFL. I probably like a lot of people, but I don't want to see that.
Well, and Rob, I think you're typical of the enlightened NFL fan who looks at the dangers to these players and feels some measure of understanding and concern for their well-being. I would say, though, that every time I get into this debate on social media or we talk about it on our radio show, invariably there are those fans that will simply say, first of all, that, you know, it's almost like the ancient times in the Colosseum, and this idea that these guys are warriors and they're there for our entertainment, and they signed up for this, they know the dangers, and so they get paid very handsomely. And there's this segment of the fan base, I don't know how large it is, so if you get hit like that, too bad. And I'm not in that group. I'm not comfortable with that group. But there is definitely that group still in existence.
There's also concern we hear from parents. You know, okay, those NFL guys are getting paid. My kid's playing peewee or high school football. They're not getting paid. They may never get paid. They don't probably understand the risks being of that age. Is this something that you think is going to change people going into the game in the first place, make that pyramid of people playing football from early age on up smaller?
Well, I do, and I think the NFL does too. I think that's among their biggest concerns. I know, you know, I do our radio show with Mark Tauscher, who played 11 years in the NFL and played at UW, and his son plays peewee hockey. And I know for Tausch, it's a very difficult, we've talked about it before on the show, it's a very difficult line for him to walk because, you know, football has given him the life that he leads. And he loved playing football, and he loved the camaraderie and being teammates and experiencing the highs and lows with your guys and all the great things, you know, all the lessons that you learn from playing a team sport, not exclusive to football, in my opinion. At the same time, you know, I know he has concerns about, you know, long term. You know, he's 40 years old, and, you know, are there going to be symptoms that are going to show up later in his life? Because as a 300-pound guy colliding into another 300-pound guy, play after play after play on the offensive line, what impact is that going to have on him in terms of his life 20 years from now? And so I think for players that played the game, that's something that's on their minds. And then as parents, I think that factors in. I know Brett Favre not that long ago came out and said he's got two daughters, but he has three grandsons. And he said he doesn't want his grandsons to play football. I mean, for Brett Favre, one of the iconic players, not just in Packers history, but in NFL history, to say that he wouldn't want his sons to play football. Now, if they want to play, he's going to let them play. But the idea that he wouldn't encourage them, given what football did for him and the life that it created for him and how much he loves the game, if he's in a position where he feels that way, then how does a regular parent who doesn't have an NFL background look at this game and view it in terms of what prism do they view it through, as a sport that has all these benefits or as the sport that has the dangers that we all are learning more and more about each day?
We're talking to Wisconsin sports writer Jason Wilde about the continuing popularity of the NFL and challenges facing it. And Jason, some people, including the president, have pointed toward declining TV numbers for the NFL and said it's the politics. It's the taking a knee, not respecting the flag. On the other hand, when you look at numbers for other sports, NASCAR, their viewership has dropped a lot. They're not taking a knee there. How do you weigh the impact of that argument?
I understand where some folks are coming from on this. There's a very passionate group that sees this as incredibly disrespectful, that maybe doesn't quite appreciate the freedom of expression aspect to it. I know there's a sign on one guy's fence not too far down the street from Lambeau Field where he has posted a large sign that says, "Stand for the flag or pack your bag." And you see it when you drive down Lombardi Avenue here in Green Bay. I try to avoid on our show talking too much politics. I feel like people tune in to talk about sports. But I have been, in my own personal opinion, amazed at people that would feel so strongly about this and be so incredibly offended by players feeling their and using their right to demonstrate that you would not watch football, that you would give up something that you so enjoy watching for so long. My advice would have been just tune into the game a few minutes late and miss the national anthem and go back to your life. You can feel the way you feel, but I'm not quite on board with then you in turn protesting not watching games that have brought you joy as a fan for so long. I think a lot of this has gotten muddled, and I think that that makes it difficult for all sides to understand where the opposite side is coming from. But in talking with players who did this or have supported this, I do believe that they feel very strongly about using something that can draw attention and start a conversation, and that that's their thought process. And it has cost Colin Kaepernick essentially his livelihood. He chose to take this approach, and it obviously led to him not even playing in the National Football League last year.
And Jason, before we wrap up, I want to look at one other issue here, is that we have so many sports to choose from, and with cable and now, as you were saying earlier, streaming and whatnot, so many ways to watch them. So my kids are growing up, they're watching a little bit of NFL, a little bit of basketball, the Olympics, sure, and they watch a ton of soccer, which we can watch from Europe now. The market is saturated with different sports options, so those eyes are going to go to different places now.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting, you know, having kids of my own, and they love playing sports, and it's hard to get them to actually sit and watch sports. They don't, even gymnastics, which they love, they don't really sit and watch it. They're more participatory, and, you know, I don't know if that's a trend among kids or not. Fortunately, our kids don't spend a ton of time on, like, YouTube either, so I'm sure that cross will, we'll have to cross that bridge at some point.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I think for most people, it is interesting to see the different routes that you can take in terms of your interest. I mean, just speaking from my own experience, I grew up with the big sports, right? The NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and then college football and college basketball. When I got to Wisconsin as a student, you know, one of the first things I covered for the Badger Herald as a student was women's soccer at UW. And I think there's some appeal for a lot of folks, and I was that way with this, to do something or cover something or follow something or become a fan of something that you actually aren't as familiar with.
We'll leave it there for now. Jason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's sports writer Jason Wilde. He joined us to talk about how football has weathered controversy over the past 40 years to keep its spot as America's favorite sport.